sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everyone. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And hopefully, as a result of listening to this show, you're getting sexier and happier. I mean, that's the point of this. This segment of the show is brought to you by Zestra, a female enhancement product that you'll hear about a little later in the show. And my question for you today is, if you've ever had a fantasy about being with or being flirted with, or being touched by a hunk, a real hunk of a man, like a man that's like got a six-pack or an eight-pack. His whole package is beautiful. He's like a fantasy man. And if you've ever had such a dream, I want you to know that today this show is really going to interest you, the ladies out there. This show is going to interest you because we're going to be talking about men of steel and men of dreams, and this is where this fantasy and this dream actually gets fulfilled. So listen up. And men, my men listeners, if you're somebody who works out and feels that you have a great body, I want you to listen up too, because you're going to find a way to get in touch with my guest and maybe enter yourself in these contests and see if you can participate in this fantasy as well. If not, just listen, because it's a great fantasy. My guest today is Natasha Shaman, and she's not your typical Russian diva. Natasha is a very beautiful woman, and she's worked on fashion runways from Moscow to Milan. She's also embraced a life of extreme adventure. She has been swimming with sharks. She's participated in Russian auto rallies. She has a license to shoot a gun. She has been even kidnapped before. Maybe I'll ask her about that in a little bit. She's a survivor of kidnapping. Her current creation is taking her favorite 12 men every year. She has called them the Men of Steel, and she takes them to hedonism in Negril, Jamaica, for an all-you-can-stand buffet of unrestricted pleasures. She's created out of the Men of Steel, Men of Dreams, a Men of Dreams contest. And one is sort of a more vanilla version, and the other is a naughtier version of these contests. She created these herself. She's a woman who lives her fantasies and lives her dreams, and she's making sure that other women and men can live their fantasies and their dreams. So welcome to the show, Natasha.
Thank you, Lori. I'm so glad to be here and so glad to connect with you again after we spent a great time in hedonism. So it's my pleasure to be here on your show. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. In case you hadn't noticed, listeners, I'm doing a lot of shows that have guests that I met and spent time with at the Erotic Coast Film Festival at Hedonism. I met such a great variety of people there, all interesting. People who have not only a great story, but people who are really, really talented and are really working in the field of having people explore their sexuality and their sensuality to the max and just really expanding their lives. So without further ado, Natasha, I have some really great questions for you. First of all, how did you – well, let's talk about the kidnap for a minute, because – if I don't talk about the kidnap, some people are probably sitting on the edge of their chairs and they're going, she was a kidnap survivor. What does that mean? So let's just find out for a second, you know, what happened in some basic detail and then how you survived that. So Were you kidnapped in Russia, or were you kidnapped somewhere in Canada or the United States?
Yes, it was in Russia, and I was 21 years old, and I was just start to travel all over Russia in search of import-export products. So that time I was buy and sell different products, buy in one city, sell in other city of Russia, and it was one of my first trip to Moscow from Siberia. And I just end up with the wrong people, and they know I had money to spend. I had to buy some products. So instead of that, they kidnapped me. The only way to get out, I had to give up all my money I had just to be alive today. And I'm so thankful they let me go, because they could take my money and they could kill me, so they don't have witness. But I'm so thankful to them they let me go alive. So,
well, I'm thankful too. First of all, because you're a precious human being. And second of all, I mean, most people don't have a story like that where they actually get away alive. So I'm happy that you got away alive and you're actually adding to other people's happiness and sexuality. So I'm glad they didn't take your life. Now, you in Siberia, you owned a boutique or some kind of a dress shop, and you also were modeling too.
Yes, I started modeling very young, about 17. We had a Russian fashion house, which they done runway show. We travel all over the Russia, show beautiful Russian clothing. It was lots of fun. And at the same time, I never take modeling seriously. It was just as a hobby. I buy and sell different products, fashion for ladies mostly, plus makeup. Then I start to buy and sell cars and apartments later on. So it was like I grow, and eventually, so each time I try to come one step farther, and eventually I start to travel to Italy, France, I came to Canada, then US. So overall, I've been over 18 countries, and it was great learning experience. I think it was school of life, I call that.
You're a very adventurous woman. I think you press the edge of risk, and you are also a successful entrepreneur, and that's very important in today's world, that what you do and what you create is not governed by what the rest of the economy is doing. And I like that a lot. I like having you not only as a sensual adventurer, but also as a woman who's very adventurous, taking a lot of risks in business and succeeding. It's excellent to know that you exist.
Also, besides success, I fail many times. So for people who listen, not if you want to succeed, not prepare, just succeed. You have to fail many times to stand up and win many times. So I had lots of winnings, but I lose many times as well. So sometimes you have to risk your life, but more you risk, sometimes more you get. So that's how I end up here today where I am. So I risk a lot, and sometimes it was not really necessary. So now I'm more careful now, let's say I never even speeding. So I always respect limit. I try to be slow now, much slower than when I was 20. So I learned a lot from my 20 years old experience, even from that kidnap survival. I totally start looking my life differently. I appreciate every second I'm having now, and oh, thanks God I'm alive. I wake up in the morning I have a sun, I have fresh air, I have water to drink, I have food, what else do I really need? So I'm really thankful to every minute of my life.
That's excellent. It's really, really good. So you have that feeling of gratefulness, gratitude, which extends your life and always will. I just want to mention to the listeners that it's obvious by now that Natasha has a very strong Russian accent. So I've asked her to slow down a little bit when she's speaking with us, and she's a very excited person, and so that'll be a little difficult for her, but right? But she has a really important message, and that's what I want you to get. That's what I want to come across with Natasha's message. So hang in there, everybody, and really listen up, because this woman has created incredible experiences for people. So let's talk about Men of Steel. You started Men of Steel magazine. You're the creator of that. And how did you go about finding these hunks these really hunky men? And did you run an advertisement? Was it word of mouth? Did you go on a television show to find them? I mean, how did you get your first group, your first dozen men? Because it's now been, I don't know, how many years have you been doing it? That's like two questions. How did you find the men? And how many years has Men of Steel been going?
I started to shoot photography in 2006, and somehow I started to shoot different male competition, like fitness competitions, dancing competitions. Plus, I was modeling myself, so my first models was people who I know from fashion show, who was my friends. So then somehow it all got connected. Then they friends call me, they need photo shoot, or I post on Facebook, on my website. I built website myself. I built few other Facebook pages, MySpace pages. I never done like any like big paid advertisement. It somehow we connect naturally. Then also during my business, I also do real estate beside that. So I travel all over Canada, US, and wherever I'm on my business trip, I always post ads that we're looking for new models for our next contest and for next calendar. And during my tours, I always host casting for new models. So it's not that hard, actually. Since now, many years later, we got more and more models and we put our name out there. So, but basically, it's from all over North America, and we have some models out of Europe, but it's so hard because it's far away distance. We have lots of models from Caribbean, since we host our contest every year in Hedonism. So we fly 12 models a year to Hedonism Resort, and we host competitions there because they are our main sponsor. And during the week, we have lots of other guests can join us and participate in our activities, and we print calendar every year. So it's lots of fun.
Well, yeah, we're going to get into those activities soon. But first, I just wanted to get the setup, you know, like so people can understand that you have this a yearly event with the Men of Steel, men who really, they have gorgeous, hard, beautiful bodies. They value their body. They look fantastic. They're sexy. They're very, very sexy. And so I want to talk about those activities, and then I want to go into Men of Dreams, because you created something a little sexier with the Men of Dreams. So first, what is it that the Men of Steel do when they come to Hedonism and when they're participating in the contest?
Yeah, Men of Steel contest more towards sport contest. So we trying to inspire people to live healthy, happy lifestyle, exercise, diet, eat right food. So we run a sport challenge, which includes many different steps, and men have to be like really, really strong to win that challenge and that cash. Plus, we host yoga lessons and karate lessons, and we try to promote any different talents and sports that somebody have, like some of our models have who compete during that week.
So they also dance, these models also, guys that dance, and they sing, and they also play guitar, things like that, as well as yoga, karate, and all the other things.
Yes, yes. We try to promote all different talents that male may have, but also they all have to have like nice body and be in shape to able to participate in Men of Steel contest. That's why we call Men of Steel contest.
I think that when you say nice body, I think that's an understatement. I think these men have the best bodies I've ever seen in my life.
So, that's true.
No kidding about that. So, okay, so people are starting to get an idea. When they're at Hedonism, which is a resort, Hedonism 2 in Jamaica, when they're there, the people who are at Hedonism for that week, they can participate in the photo shoots, or they can root for their favorite Man of Steel, and they can vote too, right?
Yes, that's right. We have all different activities which include guests as well. So any guest welcome to come and participate in our sport challenge, which is guests and guys, and like all different wet t-shirt competition for ladies, where our Men of Steel guys judge the ladies and give them prizes as our calendars, our t-shirts, so our books.
Okay, so I see. So it's kind of a give and take. Now, we're actually going to take a short break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about this other contest that you created called Men of Dreams, because it's an outgrowth from the Men of Steel. And it's, as you say, it's a little naughtier. It's got a little bit more spice to it. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and I'm interviewing Natasha Shaman, who is a former runway model. She's now a photographer. She works in photography, video, and digital, any digital media, and she shoots photographs of some of the most gorgeous and hunky and sexy men on the planet, and she finds a way for other people to get involved with these men. This is beyond studio shoots. This is shooting in a resort environment and involving people who happen to be at the resort at that time, and you can be one of those people. So stay tuned. We will be right back. We'll tell you how to get in touch with her, and we'll tell you more about the sexier contest that she has. We'll be right back.
My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra is safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and is created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
We're back with Sex and Happiness. And again, I'm Laurie Handlers. I am interviewing Natasha Shaman. And I met Natasha when I was at Hedonism at the Eroticos Film Festival. And I was amazed by what she's created in terms of this Men of Steel magazine. I actually met two of these men who are part of the naughtier part, the Men of Dreams. They're two amazing men with the best bodies I've ever seen. Their names, listen to their names. These men have exotic names. Their names were Romeo and Apollo. And I had so much fun hanging out with them. They came to my Tantra class while I was there, and they were with us at the Eroticos Film Festival the whole time. And Natasha gifted me a massage from Romeo, and that was kind of a nice and sweet and hot experience. It was wonderful. So, Natasha, now I want to talk a little bit about this new thing that you created, Men of Dreams. And how is this naughtier than your Men of Steel contest? You said that the Men of Steel, they compete athletically and talent-wise. How do the Men of Dreams compete?
Yes, during Men of Steel contest, during interview, photo shoots, so backstage, many interesting things happening during the model search, during the contest, which kind of lead me to create Men of Dream contest, where we can have a chance to push our sexual limits, our talk about like intimate ways. And that's how we created massage competition. That's how we created sexy talk competition. And we created best bedroom dance competition, best bedroom game contest. And so it's more sexy, more playful, because beside, like, let's say, good-looking guy in shape, but also lots of women want to know what in his mind, like how he in the bedroom, even if she never going to be in the bedroom with him, she was just curious to know, like, how he, what he have inside his mind and everything. So that's how I created interview. So I basically, from all of us women, I act as an agent and I asking guys all different questions. So starting from regular questions, what is your favorite food, etc., and finishing up, like, what is your favorite sexual position? And this okay. interview is very popular. Like, women like to listen these kind of interviews.
So, okay, so let me get this straight. So the men compete not only in sports stuff, but they also compete. I have this list that you sent me. They compete in magic hands, the ultimate teaser, sexiest creative talk, dream tongue. I like that one.
Yeah, that was fun. Lots of love in that one.
Secret talent, which I don't know how we find that out. I guess you ask them. Best private dancer and the best bedroom game. And then, of course, there's the person who's the most photogenic. Now, you do this through a series of interviews, but isn't there a way that women who are at the resort can actually sample some intimacy with these men, or are these men strictly off limits? I mean, are they available to go to somebody's bedroom, or is this all talk?
I mean, everybody is free to do whatever they want to do, so, like, we don't chase them after and see who doing what at night time. I mean,
okay.
What do they have to do during the contest? After that, they're free and they can do whatever they want. They can go to the nude site, or they go to the club, or they do whatever they want to do.
Okay, so they're free to hang out. So after the contest, like after you interview them and people get to vote and all that, these men are actually available. They come to Hedonism, you fly them in, they're there to compete, but they also can, if they want to hook up, they can hook up.
Oh, yeah. Like, we even had the couples, like, they fell in love, and we had all kind of stories, like our guy from the contest fell in love with the other lady. They just meet there during the contest, and we had a bunch of stories even after contest. Some ladies, I didn't even know, they send me emails and like, oh, thank you so much. You brought these beautiful guys. They don't tell me the name, but they're like, oh, I had really such a good time. I just want to thank you, and you changed my life totally, and I'm like new woman now. Or sometime I have some woman knocking my door 5 a.m. She's like, sorry, my flight is leaving in like few hours, but I really want to give you a hug and say thank you for, like, I had such amazing time. So that was like really awesome reward for me. And as a person, I always like to share since I was a child. I like to share my toys. I like to share my book. I like to share my food. So I like to share everything I have, because sharing is caring, and you get more pleasure by sharing than keeping all for yourself. It's like, what's fun to eat cake by yourself, you know? You better share it, and we eat it all together. That's how I look at it. That's one reason I want to share. I want to create the contest so all women on the earth enjoy, like, what I see, what I experience, so... Yeah.
That's so sweet of you. You know, there's so few people with that attitude, Natasha, people who want to share. I love that. So you make sure that all the women in the world who want to, I mean, you know, not everybody participates in this, but you make sure that anyone who wants to participate in this and can afford to go to Hedonism in Jamaica on the weeks that you're doing these contests, you make sure that they can share in the delights of being with these outrageous men. That's an amazing concept. It really,
and
really
now,
is.
And now even more, we're opening Men of Steel Studio Museum in Dallas, where we have photo shoots, interviews during the year, and ladies will be welcome come and join us for, like, parties in between the contest, so we'll just have more opportunities for ladies come and learn about guys and participate in different games in Dallas and different in between contests. But final contest always gonna be in Hedonism.
When's your target date to open your museum and your studios in Dallas. I know that you're in the process of moving from Canada, somewhere, Toronto, I think, from Canada to Dallas. So when's your target date?
Yes, we already got three houses in Texas, and we call them tripod mansion, which consists of three houses. So that's why it's tripod. But now we're furnishing, we're looking for models who are going to be live there full and part-time. So we're looking to open realistically by next summer, so summer 2013.
Oh, that's fantastic. And then people can fly in, or they can be local, and they can participate in some of the things that you're doing. They can fulfill a kind of fantasy that they may or may not have ever dreamed of. I mean, you know, some of what you're talking about, I don't even think people allow themselves to think.
Exactly. Like, for example, we're going to teach also squirting classes, which some women, they don't even heard before what it's all about, and they don't even believe they can do it, but after we teach them classes, they learn how to do it, they do it themselves, and they're like, oh my God, thank you, all our life, we don't know we can do it, and so that's really amazing.
Okay, yeah, that's great. So that would be, for people who aren't familiar with what you're talking about, Natasha said she calls it squirting, but it actually is a thing called female ejaculation. It's possible for a woman to actually make fluid come out of her, which is similar to a male ejaculation. And many women have heard of it. Some women have never heard of it. But it's definitely something that it's possible for any woman, but many women just don't know how to do it. So for that, I can understand that you'll have some classes. That's fantastic.
And I personally guarantee, like, I saw so many women did it for the first time. I never see anybody fail during time when, like, we teach or our squirting specialists teach them. So I never see even one woman fail. So all of them did it, even if they, doesn't matter if they're 20, if they're 50 years old. So they all did it, like, for the first time when we teach them. So that's how I know it's possible. That's why I want to share, I want to teach as much women as possible during my life.
You want women to be empowered in a way that they haven't necessarily been empowered in growing up and in even knowing what their bodies were capable of. And that's a very, it's a noble cause. Some people may be listening and thinking this is a little bit on the kinky side. And so what? You know, there's other people who this is probably fulfilling their fantasy, like they've never thought there would be a place where they could go and hang out with such amazing-looking men and give and get that kind of attention. So you're providing a service which is like a fantasy, and it's fantastic. What's the best way for people to get in touch with you? What website do they go to? Let's start with that.
Yes, my main website, menofsteelmagazine.com.
Okay, that's menofsteelmagazine.com. Okay, and that's your main website. And then if somebody wanted to find you on Facebook, what's the page they should go to?
Yes, they can find me as Natasha Sherman on Facebook, or they can search Men of Steel Magazine on Facebook, also Men of Steel Magazine on YouTube, or Men of Steel Contest on YouTube. So as long as they start typing Men of Steel Magazine, Men of Steel Contest, they can find thousands different links. But main website, menofsteelmagazine.com.
Okay, and so I imagine if somebody makes it to menofsteelmagazine.com, it's not long before they find you.
Yeah,
you know, they'll be able to find you somehow or other, and then they can branch out to Facebook and branch out to YouTube, Men of Steel Magazine. I think that this is a great thing for people to look into. I know when I met you and you started to tell me your story about how you left Russia and how you found your way to hedonism, and then the hedonism offered you to do your own contest. You were shooting some photos there, and then hedonism offered you. It's what you said earlier. You had a lot of failures, and you took a lot of risks, and then you succeeded. And you happened to be at that moment at the right place at the right time, but that's because you placed yourself there. It wasn't just an accident or a surprise that you happen to find yourself at the right place at the right time. It's what you did. It's how you put yourself out there to find your way to the right opportunities. And I really want to stress that, because I think people, I don't want people to think that you had it easy. You know, you worked really hard to get this, and now you're living what a lot of people would call a fantasy life. Very inspiring, Natasha. Very, very inspiring to know you and to know what you do. I want you to know that from the bottom of my heart.
I'm so glad. I want to inspire as much people as possible. And many people I talked to about some of my stories, they told me to write a book, which actually I'm currently writing some stories here and there. And hopefully, like in a few years, I will publish book of my life and help other people to inspire to live their dream, to help them to overcome maybe some life issues they have, or some any problems they have in life. I want to share how I did it, how I overcome my problems, like how I succeed. So I really love to share that and inspire
more people. Great. So great. Now, one last question, and that is, if people want to come to the next Men of Dreams or Men of Steel time at Hedonism, from hearing this show, what week is it going to be in 2013?
We not set up date yet, but most likely it will be end of 2013, since now I'm very busy with opening the studios in Texas. I have to furnish. I'm moving my art gallery. It actually will be Men of Steel art gallery as well, where women can buy art, which I shoot since 2006. Like, we have a nude art, we have a regular art, which showcase best male bodies from around the world. Also, I'm working on opening penis museum, Men of Steel penis museum. So lots of work. That's why we postponed contest until end of the year 2013. Yeah, date will be posted sometime in beginning of 2013. So please, anybody who want to come, just check our website or check hedonism.com website. So as soon as we have a date, we post on both websites, and you're welcome to come and join us. Like, we all extremely friendly. I choose guys very carefully, so we not have wrong people there. And like, it will be one of the best vacation of your life. So
the Erotico Film Festival was one of the best vacations of my life. One more thing, and that is, if a man wants to apply, a man listening to this show has a steel body, he's been doing his homework and working out like he should, and he hears this and he says, that's for me, then what should he do? Should he contact you through the website?
Yes, through the website or on Facebook as Natasha Sherman, or my personal email, natashamagazine@live.com. But as long as they type Natasha Sherman, there is no other person with this name, so they find many different ways to find me.
Okay, good. Let me spell that name for you. It's Natasha, N-A-T-A-S-H-A, that part's easy, Shaman, S-H-A-M-A-N, like shaman, like somebody who works magic.
Yeah. And
clearly, Natasha works magic. Thank you so much for being my guest today. I appreciate you so much. I appreciate what you're doing. I'm excited to let other people know about you. And I would love my guests, please, to stay tuned, because I'm going to be interviewing Paula Tiberius in the second half. And she's going to be talking to us about writing a romance novel that centers around the character of a bad girl, somebody who's wild and free. And Paula had a difficult time selling this concept of a bad girl, but I think that for all the bad girls out there, we need to have somebody writing romance novels about this. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with Paula.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life? Get the best from relationships? Attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
Well, we're back, everyone, and I told you to stay tuned for this second half because it's going to be just as exciting as the first half. And my guest today in this part of the show is Paula Tiberius. And Paula is an author, a screenwriter, a filmmaker. She's a musician and a mom who lives in North Hollywood, California. Paula wrote and directed the award-winning feature film Goldie Rocks in Toronto, which came out theatrically in 2004. And it's played on pay TV and cable in Canada, and it's currently available on Netflix. Now, her first romance novel, which is the stuff I talked to you about earlier in the show, is called The Cowboy Singer. And while it's been met with rave reviews, and also it's available, you can get it on Amazon.com, she also has found that in writing a romance novel, especially one that has to do with a bad girl, like a naughty girl, she's had some issues and distinctions come up that maybe she didn't think about before, or maybe you haven't thought about before. For example, there are people like Anne Rice, who many of you have read the vampire novels and all the things, even seen the movie with Tom Cruise about the vampire, Lestat. But Anne Rice also, in case you don't know, writes some erotica, and she writes under a different name. So Paula and I are going to explore what that's all about. Like, why in this culture we're still so divided about our sensuality and our sexuality and what's erotic, especially when being written by a woman. So Paula, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Hi, thanks for having me, Lori.
It's great to have you. Oh, and I want people to know also that we also met at the Eroticos Film Festival in Jamaica. And we had a week not to be believed. So,
with some great films.
Yeah, with fabulous films. So, Paula, first of all, you're so talented. There's so much that you do in the way of art, writing, and screenwriting, and filmmaking. Was this originally what you started to do? Was this what you went to college for? Or is this another career?
Sometimes it feels like a lot of careers at once, but I feel like after having a complete nervous breakdown in 2001, making my feature film Goldie Rocks, I realized that it's okay to just be an artist, and everything I do just goes under the umbrella of me, and that's okay. So I can write books and make films and create art and play music, and it's all good. I always try to write from a woman's perspective, obviously, because I am a woman, and those voices are important. So touching on what you, in the introduction, you were talking about how sometimes erotic writing gets met with,
flack. It gets met by the conservative right, at least in the United States. I don't know about
right, exactly. And it's just funny because I had much more of an experience with that with Goldie Rocks 10 years ago than with my current romance novel, I think partly because of the subject matter and partly because I think things have changed a little bit. But my romance novel isn't erotica, actually. It's a romance novel that's quite tame, really, in comparison to what some of my peers are doing, like my friend Sophie Sans Regret. Her novels are hot, hot, hot. Erotic, but I have two sex scenes and they're hot, but you know, it's considered tame among the romance bloggers. But what happened was my cousin, who's a Mormon, who loved the book, was talking to me about it and saying, you know, oh, well, of course I saw the sex scenes coming, so I skipped ahead three pages and then, you know, kept reading, and she actually asked me if I would consider making
a sex-free version of the cowboy singer. And I was like, wow, that's really interesting. Like, why are you so afraid of sex?
Did you ask her why she was afraid of sex?
I mean, I understand they don't. Well, actually, I kind of did ask her that. Her explanation was that sex is something, first of all, that's only between married people, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. They weren't married
right,
yet.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Right, exactly. And then beyond that, it's something that really should just be shared between those people. So, in other words, it's not okay to have depictions of it. And I got to tell you, that rules out a lot of art. I mean, you know, that's poo-pooing a really important part of humanity and who we are. So that was one whole side of things.
If two people only talk about this with each other, how do they learn anything? How do they
right.
know anything?
There's no development. There's no conversation.
So then to me, it's just they do sex for procreation. I'm making this up, but it's my assumption anyway. Then they just do sex for procreation, and it's not the pleasure and the intoxicating cocktail, brain cocktail, and the oxytocins and the warmth and the love and the whatever. If you don't know what you're doing and there's no place for you to even go and ask because it's not allowed, then we might as well be in the dark ages, because that's how it occurs to me. I don't mind saying it. She's your cousin.
Yeah. You know? No, I mean, that is my feeling, too. It's also my feeling that, I mean, I actually have quite a few Mormon cousins, and they're pretty sexy people, too. Like, I can't imagine they're not having good sex. So, but I guess they just don't talk about it. I find it such an interesting taboo. And now being in the world of erotica, I've written one erotic short story that got published. But
oh no, you're definitely in the world of erotica.
You have a blog that handles
relationships, sexuality, erotic
oh, yes,
films,
world. Yes.
Boys, all this stuff. No, you are definitely in the world of erotica. Don't kid yourself for one.
Yeah, no, you're right. I am, and I enjoy reading it, and I enjoy writing it, and I think it's really useful for women. And I was really excited about 50 Shades because it's such a national conversation now. People are reading it on the subway, and I mean, people criticize it for being tame, but compared to, you know, other best-selling fiction in terms of sexual content, it's not.
Right.
No, there's a lot of sex in there, and it's
kinky sex,
which I think is great. So
yeah.
I'm glad that the conversation is being had, if not by Mormons.
Right.
But
well, I want to ask you this. Would you consider, I mean, that she asked you, I think the question deserves an answer, that she asked you if you would write a non-sexual version of the
right,
same.
Right,
because I interviewed somebody once who was a romance novel writer, and she opened my eyes every aspect of romance novels, which I had no idea because I think I had read one in my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And then she started to tell me, oh, no, this is how women can learn about relationships. This is how in these books everything gets resolved. I mean, she told me all this important stuff about romance novels, which I had no clue about. So she told me that there was a branch of romance novels that were for the Pennsylvania Dutch. There's a whole brand.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there's Christian romance.
So those all must be cleaner, I suppose. I don't like clean and dirty, but those must all be more tame.
Taste. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Vanilla.
They definitely are. I think they can indulge after the characters are married, which is usually near the end, so it's like an afterthought. And they lived happily ever after and had terrible sex because they never talk about it. I don't know. I find the whole romance genre quite interesting. There's so many different sides to it, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But in answer to her question, the time I said, well, yes, I will consider that, you know, because she was saying she would love to send it to friends and stuff. And, you know, as a writer, you want to reach more people, of course. But then after a few weeks, I realized I'm finished with that book, and I really like to move on as an artist. I don't really dwell on stuff. I mean, so I just thought, you know what? No, actually, it is what it is, and I'm writing a new piece now. I'm on the third chapter, and I'm excited about it, and I'm into it, and the characters are engaging me, and I don't really want to go backwards and publish a chased version. It's not really who I am, and it doesn't really make sense.
I was rooting for you, but I didn't want to influence you when I asked you the question. I was so rooting that you weren't going to go back and redo it, you know.
Well,
let her write her own romance novel if she's
right.
So
or cut out the sex scenes and give it to your friend anyway.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
You know?
Support your relative, clean up their book. So what moved you to start writing romance novels? Because, you know, I want to write a romance novel. I think I told you that.
Right, yeah, that's great.
I have at least 5 romance novels inside me, but I haven't started yet. I've just written down the ideas. You know, that's where I am with it. So how did you...
Well, I'll
because
let you in on a little secret. Writing is all about writing down your ideas.
Right, yeah, sure it is.
You're halfway there, Lori.
Until I interviewed... the person I interviewed about romance novels, I would have never considered it. I thought it was like, I don't know, I had this image that only like silly women read romance novels, you know, who weren't having a life. And she totally changed everything for me. She changed my whole perception. Like, women are where it's at. They're the consumers. They buy more things. They're more titillated. They want excitement. They want to read these books.
Yes.
It's a gazillion-dollar industry. I mean,
it is. And
I was shocked.
Yeah, no. Believe me, I had the same revelation a few years ago, coming from the film world, having written many screenplays and many romantic comedy screenplays, and trying to get a home for them, get them made, and coming up against walls. What happened was a good friend of mine, who's a senior editor at Harlequin, started sending me romance novels from her American romance line while I was pregnant. So I was like, hey, you know, I'm spending a lot of time at home. Send me some trashy books. So she would send me boxes of them, and I was reading them. And then, of course, like every art form I get engrossed in, I'm like, I can do that. So I wrote it, and I wrote it in like 4 months while I was pregnant. And it was really fun. And it went really quickly. Really joyful. I really enjoyed the experience, and then I put it on a shelf, and I didn't do anything with it for almost 2 years. And then suddenly, I had hired a life coach, and we were talking about, you know, my screenplays and what am I going to do with my film career and stuff. And it came out that I have this novel, and she's like, "What? You wrote a novel? What are we doing with that?" I'm like, "Oh, well, you know, I wrote it for fun. It was fun." And so she was like, okay, let's get that out here, get a synopsis going, and we're going to get you an agent for this novel. And I was, you know, I'd been looking for a screenwriting agent for 6 years and hadn't found one. I sent out this novel, and I got an agent in a week. So that made me realize, oh, maybe just because it's fun and easy to do, that's not a reason to poo-poo it. That's a reason to pursue it.
Yes.
So
I'm glad you had that life coach. I'm glad somebody talked some sense into you. That's why we need life coaches from time to time.
Right, exactly. I certainly did.
Something that you said makes me think for everybody, that is, sometimes what comes easily to one that they easily overlook, like things come really easily to me. I'm very creative, and I just, anything I touch kind of turns to gold. And I take that for granted. I think everyone has that. I think everybody has that talent. I think I don't understand when people are stuck because I just do it. And for you, writing this novel and other things that you do, Paula, like come naturally to you. It's like the air that you breathe. So you think, oh, that's nothing. But meantime, everything you do is an accomplishment, and it's like giving birth to something each time. So to take that too lightly is sometimes not right. We need to give ourselves the credit for what we do, even though it was easy.
We do. We need to honor ourselves. And I think that's a challenge for women in general, is, yeah. I mean, with the sex too, you know, honor yourself, get, take responsibility for your own orgasm. Like you said in your tantric workshop in Jamaica, don't expect somebody to hand you an orgasm. Like, what do? Hand it to you on a platter? You know, they always say give you an orgasm. Really? Because, you know, last time I checked, I had to be engaged.
Exactly.
My mind had to be excited. And so it's, but there, you definitely need to figure out who you are and honor it and then nurture it and then really go for it. And I think that's what, for me at least, has led to much greater joy in my life.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take a short break there, Paula. That's a really good place to leave people for a moment. When we come back, I'm going to be talking to Paula Tiberius about her feature film, because I got a little mixed up when I was talking about it, but I want to hear about the challenges that she faced with having a character that was seen as somewhat naughty. So I want to talk about that a little bit, and then let people know how they can get in touch with you, all the, you know, the things that they can find out about from you, because you are like a clearinghouse for great information for women, and certainly the men in their lives can benefit from this. So it's good for everybody. So I'll be right back with Sex and Happiness and with my guest Paula Tiberius. Please stay tuned.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Lori Handlers, your host. I'm thrilled to be here today. And we're talking about a subject that's kind of near and dear to my heart, because the woman I'm speaking with, Paula Tiberius, and I have a lot in common. We're both authors. She's a screenwriter. I just produced a film. She's also a filmmaker. I'm not a musician. I sing a lot, but I don't play anything. But we just have this creative, I call it a creative pregnancy. Like, I feel pregnant all the time with creation, and then I keep pushing things out of me, out of my belly, out of my sexual energy. I just keep creating more and more and more and more. And Paula is very prolific in this same way. And so it's exciting for me to get with a kindred spirit, and hopefully you. If nothing else today, in terms of coming out of the closet with romance novels, but also if you are sitting on talents that you think come so easily and naturally to you that you don't value them, it's time to take a look at that. Really take a look at that and start really putting your gifts out there. You have no idea who you will touch with your gifts. So Paula, coming back to where we were before and a little bit earlier in the show, you set me straight about Goldilocks being your film that you did earlier. It says you did it in 2000. Well, it came out theatrically in 2004, but did you make the film before then?
Yeah, we shot in the summer of 2002.
So in 2002, the world was a different place. It wasn't as ready for open sexuality. It wasn't as ready for words like penis and vagina on the radio. It wasn't, you know, like we didn't say that stuff. And I remember, I mean, in 2002, the world was just starting to warm up to the idea of Tantra. And now people are like, oh, yeah, Tantra, I heard of that. Everyone does Tantra, you know, like that. It's a totally different place. So what were you met with, and tell us a little bit about the plot of Goldilocks.
Yes, yes. Well, first of all, Goldilocks is the story about a woman who wants to be a rock and roller, but she doesn't really know it yet, and she ends up in a house living with these three musician guys. and she romances with all of them, and it's like the Goldilocks story, except it's with men. So first one's
Of the three bears.
So, yes, instead of the bears. Second one's too cold. He actually is gay. And the third guy she thinks is going to be just right, but then she realizes she doesn't need a man. She needs a guitar, and she starts her own band at the end of the movie. So it has a feminist message. But as you can tell, she's also a bit of a slut.
Right.
So, and I think we all know how loaded that word is. I don't think she's a slut, but that's what came up in the meetings when we were getting the movie funded. People were very concerned that this woman's sexually promiscuous behavior was not only inappropriate in general, but something that would turn off viewers and make them think that she was not sympathetic. So I really had to fight to keep Goldie in bed with these guys. I mean, you know, it was, you know, can we tone it down? Can we do this? Can we do that? And I just had to stand my ground and say, look, women sleep with lots of different people. Like, welcome to reality, you know.
Right.
If we're not reflecting that, what are we doing, you know? And, I mean, some people just didn't listen, and we, you know, we had to move on. But you know, these are the stories that – this was the story I wanted to tell. So watering it down took all the – fun out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, I do. Well, this is so our theme for today, if we were to have a theme, is something along the order of, I'm interviewing Paula Tiberius, who is very close knit kin to Laurie Handlers, a woman who doesn't back down.
Well, what's the point, you know?
What's the point of having a voice if you have to keep squashing the voice and dumbing it down for other people? Like,
right.
I just can't, you know, I could never see that, although I've been asked to dumb myself down many times in life. I just could never do it. I tried.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes in youth I tried to be less intense. But
definitely. I mean, I think I've tried too, and I think what happens is you water down your art and change it to the point where the voice isn't clear anymore, so actually you're saying nothing now because it's not coming from an authentic place. And people, you know, everyone always says, like, you know, well, Americans are dumb, and the viewership, like, they don't know anything, you got to dumb it down, blah, blah, blah. Well, okay, as dumb as these people might be, everyone knows inauthenticity when they see it. They can smell it,
right?
And they're not going to go see your movie or read your book because it doesn't feel right. You can tell the voice of an artist by that tone of authenticity, whatever it is, whether you're a Mormon or, you know, a sexually active 21-year-old in the case of Goldie, you know, whatever it is.
It's a great point. It's a really great point that you make. I mean, people want authentic. They want real. My last show was on real and raw, and that's precisely why I did that show, because at the time my guest Monique was going through so much stuff, but she was being so real about it. I don't even want to say but. And she was being so real about it on the internet, on exposing what was going on with her. She was becoming a champion for me. Every day I was like, what is Monique doing today? And to me, that was the beauty of the whole thing. Here's a woman who's going through it. She's up against it. Her face is in it every day, and she's willing to go on Facebook and write about it.
And she,
that's
I listened
amazing.
To that interview, and she was so exhilarated by it. Like, that's what's so interesting to me is when you see people blossom and be excited about something. I mean, you know, that's what matters in life. That's what brings tears to your eyes. Well, it certainly brought tears to her eyes in that interview.
Yes.
And, you know, but I think that's really contagious. And actually, I think that's the basis for why reality television is so popular, even though, ironically, it's not really reality because it's mostly scripted. But I think that's the appeal of it, is somehow you're getting a window into these people's real lives and their real souls, and seeing them exposed, you know. So if you use that power for yourself, I think it's, you know, the most important thing in life.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So what is your message going to be? Well, I know that you have a blog that has many different things for people. You have a blog that is educational about sex toys, and that you also have many articles on there. It's not just you either. You have guest bloggers. So there's many different ways to look at relationship and sexuality and so on. So it's clear to me, Paula, that you want to get the message out there. And primarily you want to get the message out there to women. But since women hold up half of the sky, once you get the message out to women, the message is getting out there to men. I mean, it's
yes,
just,
and I
the
wish
way
I could see that in Google Analytics.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I could see how many men click on these things too, because one of the most popular blogs on the Evolved World site is A Girl's Guide to Anal Sex, because that's such a taboo thing. I mean, literally, like, just, you know, tens of thousands of hits on this one article. And it's not surprising because it's such a taboo. People don't really talk about it. And I bet a lot of those clicks are men too, trying
yeah.
to figure out how to introduce the topic or whatever.
Trying to figure out where they stand in all of it.
Right, exactly. And, yeah, so Evolved World is the site I run that's a sister site to Evolved Novelties, which makes toys and other sex gear type stuff. And that's definitely all about empowering women sexually and sensually. I mean, for me, as the editor of that website, my mandate is female empowerment sensually. And I say sensually because, of course, there's lots of articles about sex, and we have Dr. Ava Cadell on there as our sexpert, and she's terrific, lots of advice.
And she's been on this show before, so people will recognize, mm-hmm. people will recognize her name, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's got lots of articles and blogs and podcasts and video tips, and she promotes her Loveology University on there. And I also try to, in the lifestyle section, I mean, usually lifestyle sections are all about fashion, and that's not really my forte. Maybe we'll branch more into that. We have a few things like that. But mostly what I'm interested in that section is articles about confidence and self-esteem and self-worth and, you know, how to stay positive in life and get rid of all that negativity so you can live the life you really want to live, you know, for people who might be feeling small or hard done by or just, you know, emotionally beaten down, to try to say, you know, there's ways to empower yourself just in your own head, you know, teach yourself some positive mantras and start doing things that you love and see your life change.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a writer, Rhonda Farah is one of our best writers in that area. She's a life coach. And some of her articles on freeing yourself and, you know, tips for happiness are some of the most clicked on the site. So it's interesting. You know, people don't just want to know how to give a good blowjob.
I hope.
They also want to be happy.
They want to know.
You know, completely. And, of course, when you're happier in your life, you have better sex. I mean, that's, you
right.
know, that's not a big mystery, really.
So we could make a happier girls give better blowjobs. But
there you go.
With all of this, all of this is under the umbrella, though, of really your creativity and what you're doing. And you're not taking no for an answer. You're not backing down. You're putting it out there. You're putting your money where your mouth is. You're putting out the information for people's empowerment, for people to get connected with their own sensuality and sexuality. And you're doing it in all these different ways. Whether it's through you're writing a novel or doing a screenplay or doing a movie or whatever, and you're doing it on your terms, which is very, very inspiring. It's very inspiring for me, and it's very inspiring for people listening. It's so important. And, you know, well, as we just said, and then if you're happy, you'll get better blowjob. You'll do a lot of things if you're happy that you wouldn't normally
right.
do. You know, we're
definitely the tweet of the day. Yeah,
yeah, we're kidding about this, but it's so true that that the happiness that reflects inside because you took action and you did something for your life makes everything work. So.
Right, because people think they have to live their lives for other people. I mean, you know, it goes back to the Goldie Rocks thing. Like, I could have compromised the movie to try to get more money, but then I'm not making that movie that people were interested in because it had the, you know, quote, edgy feminist voice. You know, you can't have it both ways.
Exactly.
And, you know, you just have to be authentic, and, you know, if people don't like it, oh well, that's
right,
your budget. We'll do it for a different amount of money, and it'll, you know, it'll be the movie we really wanted to make.
Yeah, it's great, Paula. So people can find you at paulatiberius.com, is that correct?
That is correct.
And they can find all these other the connections to how to get your book and how to see your film and also to your Evolved World blog. So let me just spell it for people. It's Paula, P-A-U-L-A, Tiberius, T-I-B-E-R-I-U-S. That's paulatiberius.com. And you'll find out all about her weekly blogs and music and films and books and toys and advice. All of it is possible on Paula's website. Paula, what's going to be your next project? That's why I started to ask you earlier and we went into something else, but what do you see for the future?
Well, what I'm working on right now is a new book called Good Taste, which is an Opposite Sides of the Tracks romance, which is my favorite rich girl, poor guy. And it's actually a novelization of one of my many romantic comedy scripts. Because I was talking to a friend of mine who was telling me the same thing that your friend was telling you about romance lit and how women rule the romance publishing world and women buy these books like crazy. And by the way, women go to movies too, but the movie industry is much more male-centric.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is why it's, quote, hard to get a romantic comedy made these days. So the advice given to me was turn your romantic comedy scripts into novels.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? That's not a bad idea. So I'm doing that now, and it's a really interesting process because screenwriting is all about what's on the screen, and you're not allowed to go into people's heads. You're not allowed to describe furniture. There's so many things you can't do. So I'm reliving these characters that I created and actually creating interior worlds for them and giving them apartments with furniture, and it's really interesting. It's fun.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Paula, for joining us today.
I
couldn't wait to interview you. You're so multi-talented, really.
And you are as well.
Thank you. And I'd love to do some blogging for you. So just so you know, I'd love to.
Oh, great. Anytime.
So thank you again. You can find Paula at paulatiberius.com, and that will lead you to all the other connections that we talked about. Please tune in next week when actually my guest will be Dorian Gomez and maybe even Amanda Morgan from the Erotic Heritage Museum in Las Vegas. I'll be seeing them this weekend. So thank you, and thanks for listening. This is Laurie Handler signing off for Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to know.